from Shab Events to our podcast today. I have a couple of questions for them. The first one being, in experiential marketing linked to consumer goods and brands, what is happening in the time of COVID and how is that industry being transformed?
Hi, Celeste. Thank you for having us today. Alexis here from Shab Event and with Guillaume, my partner.
Hello.
It's a great question. It's probably the question that everyone's asking in the industry. What to do in time of COVID and what to do now? Even though countries are reopening, we see economies across the world at being different stage of moving into a post-COVID phase, post-lockdown. You can see that most of the event now, which is probably one of the main touch points of the entire retail and luxury industry, apart from social media marketing, obviously, and press, so all the advertising and out of home, the experiential marketing itself, which are the events and the live experience, are stopped at the moment. So a lot of brands have decided to, depending on the level of maturity, to move online. Digital is not new. It's something that's been on for a long time. However, going overnight from a little bit of digital in a big amount of live experience to 100% digital experience has been a huge transformation that brands have been trying to catch up very quickly.
Okay, fabulous. And do you have any examples of what that looks like in the time of COVID? That switch, that transformation about what is exactly happening.
Guillaume, you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure. I just actually exited a call with one of our clients. and it's actually interesting because they have sometimes the tools, but they don't have the solution. So all of our clients, I think in Singapore, we have about 160 global accounts. And all of our clients do have tools, you know, they, like Alexis said, it's not new. So they have a Skype for enterprise, or they have WebEx or tools like that. But now that they have to use them in the time of COVID, where they're not in the same room and it's fully digital, not even hybrid, they struggle because the engagement is key. And this is where Shab Events come in with the Shab Lab new branch, because we have this experience on live events, to you know, create, generate, and use those engagement actions and generate the emotions between the brands and their consumer, or the services of these clients of ours and their consumer. So this is where the thinking part was interesting at Shab, because we think that it's about integrating a series of tools into creating a solution, which is the solution that fits our clients. And in that example where I was in the call, they need to integrate 11 markets with one tool that works to train their sales team. And they really struggle because, honestly, if you are following a webinar, and I'm sure a lot of you have done that already, maybe after 20 minutes or 30 minutes, you put your cam off, and then you put your mic off, and then maybe because you're home, you take care of your kids or you do something else, because it's really hard to keep them engaged and focused. So we have managed to develop and use some existing also tools to generate a lot more engagement, whether we are talking about internal meeting or client engagement. This is where the real focus of Shab Lab is today.
Great, thank you. Thank you so much. And recently I've seen in the press that you've come out with Shab Digital Events, and I want to know exactly what this is all about. If you can tell me a little more.
Yeah, sure. So Shab Lab, the Shab Digital Lab, is something that we brought forward not only with the COVID, but with the evolution of the world. Most of the technologies are not new. You do live stream, broadcast, augmented reality has been here for a while, social media marketing, influencers have been here. However, with COVID, all that has been brought forward to the forefront rather than being additional touch point to live experience. The big question underlying that when we work with brand, and that's what brought Shab Lab, is how can you create experiences and interaction that really matters in a socially distance world, in a sense. Because live experience always been great to deliver impact and engagement. and to create that emotional connection between the brand and the consumer, or between the brand and the employees, if we're talking about internal employee engagement. And because right now with COVID and a socially distanced world, social media still works and advertising, and that's great because that drives awareness or behavior experiences, live experience, physical touch points is what engage and inspire and drive brand love. So as an event agency and as an experience agency, with the socially distanced world, that hasn't changed our goal. The goal is still to drive brand love. The goal is still around storytelling. However, we felt we needed to work with our clients towards what has changed, which is the medium. Not being just live, but also going online and having this mean of creating this really strong interaction with the audience. Because when you move online, as Guillaume just said before, it's really hard to keep the attention of the audience for a longer period of time. So you have to be short and sweet, but you have to be really impactful. And that's kind of where the Chab Lab comes from. Guillaume, you want to add something?
No, I think you summed it all. Definitely, we're talking about some interaction. To be more precise for the people listening to us, I think one of the description we can give is that second screen technology. We have that tool, which is quite nice. Basically, we are using the main screen of the computer so that people follow the conference, the event, or whatever they have to be following. And then we send an alternative link for their smartphone. And then they will use their smartphone as the interaction tool. So it means that the smartphone can be used to answer poll, quiz, but also we go way further than that, way beyond. So one of the things that's been developed is very interesting, is about selfies. No selfie in Asia, but now I think around the world is very largely used, especially in the industries that we're talking about. And one of the tools that we have allows you to, during a conference, have every people in the audience take a selfie, and then you kind of swipe up that selfie within the mini website we have, which then sends that selfie into the main screen that everyone is watching live. And then those selfies are floating in the air in a really nice design way, of course. And then when we want, in the back end, we can just press a button and all the selfies will come and form a logo, or a percentage of growth, or any key message that the brands want to send. So it's very strong. You know, that's just one example, which is hard to picture with words. But it's one thing that we love to do with our clients right now, is to see, okay, how can we engage people when they are all remote? And I think the future of that will also be a hybrid. I guess, Alexis, I've had plenty of projects like this so far, so we are well aware of how we need to run a hybrid event, which is, for those who don't know, a mix between the physical presence, limited, obviously, and then the online. I don't know, Alex, if you want to talk about some you know, challenges from our clients.
Yeah, that's a really good point. As specialists of crafting experiences, we had to rethink with our client, obviously, how to engage their audience now that all the touch points have moved digital for the time being. But that's only for the 3 or 4 next months. In 6 months down the road, most probably everything will be hybrid in this kind of social distancing future. I don't like to call it the new normal, so I'll call it social distancing future. What's happening there is you're going to have a small set of audience you're going to bring in live in a particular venue, but you want, for whether it's cash reason, it's money, and cost, or just physical reason because people don't want or cannot move anymore, you're going to have these streaming capabilities, this online experience, or this augmented reality or mixed reality tools that are going to be added to the live experience that you used to have. And that's in 6 months down the road. It's not in 5 years down the road, but it's now. Because if we, right now, we only focus on digital, the world's going to change again very quickly. People are really eager to meet again. People are really eager to go out to restaurants, eager to go out and engage with brands. And there's a certain limit on what you can do with digital. Yes, it's cool. Social media marketing is great. Live streaming is becoming the whole rage right now. If you've seen in the last months, there's live streaming everywhere in China. Stars, TV anchors, everyone's getting into live streaming to sell products online with Tmall and Taobao. But there's going to be a fatigue to it because live streaming means you need to be in front of your computer and watch it, and you're competing with a ton of other people creating content on management, on education, on whatever. So you're going to compete with a share of attention of people. So fully digital is probably going to be only a short while. Then we go hybrid. And so how do we do hybrid? We do hybrid by taking into account, obviously, the new ways of people interacting in a social distancing way. So if you're going to do a product launch, you want to do a product launch maybe with more at-home experiences where maybe a smaller set of people are going to be able to come in store or in a particular location, but most of the other people may be going to go, going to get some package home that's going to be activated or open right at the same time for everyone. And maybe your fashion show or your watch discovery of the new collection is going to be broadcasted and filmed real time in a boutique or in a venue that's going to be set up for that particular occasion. So you're going to have this subset of maybe a few people present, most of the people with at-home experiences. Maybe they'll get a bottle of champagne. Maybe they'll get even maybe a box with a Michelin star chef meal coming along with the discovery of the new collection for that particular watch brand or jewelry brand. So you can address things in a new way where you're going to have this mix of physical and digital touch points. And that's going to make it interesting. It's the same if you go towards retail and let's say more mass experiences. If you're in the consumer goods sectors, whether it's sports or everything, being able to touch 10,000 of people, obviously you need to adapt to those physical touch points, but sending goodie bags home, having also a broader experience for 10,000 people, but being able to cater it in a certain way, maybe sending like quiz and surveys in advance to understand what are the subsets in your persona of these 10,000 people. So that maybe you actually do 3 or 4 different broadcasts that are a little bit more personalized with these people. And as Guillaume was mentioning before, all the tools of live interaction. So able to send not only just polls and quiz, but taking selfies online for 10,000 people at the same time and making that into the reveal of brand or logo, creating walls that gets revealed by the participation of everyone, maybe sliding something from their phone that appears on the screen and is going to go and open up a hole or brick, anything like that, that create and have the interaction and the participation of the audience is going to be key to make a successful hybrid experience that is highly engaging and it's going to try to make people remember it.
Amazing. Thank you. I have a follow-up question on that. Do you feel that consumers are going to shift and are going to be less interested to some extent in some live events and are going to want to do other things such as social impact, being a force for good, being in philanthropy after everything that's happened? Do you think there's going to be a shift in the consumer mindset in terms of interests? And how do you think you can manage to capture them and still get them to meet on these digital touch points?
Alex, I have a short answer to this. Yes, I think there will be a shift, and I think live is a new luxury. I think that's a key sentence to remember. And I think after we have to talk about the age of experience, I will leave that to you, Alex. But the live is a new luxury, and I think in the future, I am really certain that consumer will spend money to have the live experience that is attached to the brand or that is the brand at the end of the day, depending on which brand we are talking about. So I think we are transforming into this. I think there has been an age of the internet where everything was free and accessible to everyone. But now that with some limitation, a large part of the physical event is to shift online, then it will be a large part of the events that will happen to be with a price tag, you know, for the experience. And I think that's what people will want to see in the future. So be more connected in a sense, have this expectation of a high quality standard online with the good practice that we are developing right now in that industry that is developing rapidly. Alexi,
that wasn't the short answer.
So that was a great answer. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much.
maybe to address also your point on sustainability, I think maybe I'm talking on the standpoint of our industry. I don't think people gonna stop wanting to be rewarded or experiencing. That's the age of experience that we're getting into. We used to be in the age of information. There was big data. Every all of that was king. However, with COVID, we just locked down the entire planet for 2 to 3 months. People just realize it's probably that information is great and you get a ton of a laptop, but not being able to go to a restaurant, not being able to meet with friends, not being able to experience things is what really matters. And now we're in the age of experience, and probably for the next few years. So sustainability, yes, we do believe that in travel industry in particular, probably the business travels, flying from Singapore to Paris for 2 hour meeting and then flying back and being totally jet lagged for a few days, spending $10,000 between a business class tickets and a hotel room for a night, that's probably going to disappear. We're going to get a lot less and less people doing that. Companies probably going to be more conscious on sustainability level. They're also just going to be cash conscious because they're going to feel now that everyone has experienced work from home, that actually that 2 hour meeting can probably be done decently efficiently online. And you actually don't really need to fly your Asia CEO just for a 2 hour meeting in Paris. So that's gonna change. Or however, what we call the incentive travel industry, which is when you take your 100 best customers, your 500 best salespeople on travel retail stores, are they gonna want to watch as a reward a nice video for 2 hours and do an online team building rather than going for 5 days in Sydney and do bungee jumping and see and take selfies with koalas? Probably not. They're probably going to want to still go to Sydney. So that's probably not going to change post-COVID. So that's where you have to place yourself also in the experiences. There's commodities that might change, which is your regular business travel, where people gonna and brands gonna be more conscious about it. However, as Guillaume said, there's gonna be a premium on the experiences. It's gonna be the new luxury, as he said. That's right. That part is really important. I think, and if you think about experiences in itself, you have to think how if that's gonna become more and more prevalent in the future, and that's gonna be the center of attention of everyone. How do you stage engaging experiences? How do you make greater? How do you make experiences that last? And not just not experience, but they're actually transformative. Like this experience changed my life. This experience changed my perspective on it. So this is how you're gonna have, this is where agencies like us, but clients in general, I think in retail, in luxury, but even in insurance, gonna have to think about how do I make my life experiences transforming so that they matter? They have to be robust. They have to be cohesive with the brand. They also have to be personal because that's what an experience is. If not, it's just a service. But if you customize it, then you become personal. They have to be dramatic and they have to be overall transformative with all of that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This is extremely interesting. And I'm sure right now what's happening in Asia, as you said, there's a lot of live streaming. There's a lot, lots of different mediums that this is being done, but there's also a lot that can be found now. When there's moments like COVID or pandemics, you always find spaces in the market that you might not have realized before. So this is a really, really exciting time. I have another question for you. I was wondering if I can learn a little bit more about what your day-to-day is like. What does your day-to-day look like in this time, and what are your future plans as we were starting to discuss in the times of COVID?
Yeah, you want to take it?
Well, you're asking the day-to-day as entrepreneur or the day-to-day as business owners, which is slightly different for me.
I want both answers.
Okay, I'll give the entrepreneur if you want me to start. I think it was a tough time. I think by the end of January, we realized that almost the entire pipe that we've been building for months and years has vanished. And then we look at each other with the three partners. So there's Alexis and myself in this podcast, but there's also Louis in France, which is the third musketeer. And we're thinking, okay, what do we do? And this is where the idea came with ChapLab and that we have presented to you today while sharing our experience of the industry. And I do think that the day-to-day life went back to almost normal for us because we were pitching, we were fine-tuning our services, our products, and we were also starting from scratch from that particular angle by educating some of our clients. I mean, don't mind the world for the sake of a better world, but some clients were very lost and starting from zero, and some were convinced that, like I said at the beginning, they have the right tool, but what they needed was a solution. So it was a very, very interesting journey. And to be honest, apart from the human difficulties with the staff and trying to keep the team together and waiting for the government to help here, which is not the same level of help that we can have in France, for example, even though they have been doing great things, it was like going back, you know, to the beginning where we started on a sofa with our laptops, you know, a few beers in the fridge, and okay, what are we gonna do? So it was kind of a reboot for those months where we're stuck home, where you don't have to worry about those 15 meetings in the day and wearing the best suit possible and being presentable 7 days a week to your clients. It was really back to, okay, I'm home, I can chill, we need to rethink that. And that's really cool because the solution came about super fast because we are three brains into it. Alexis was leading this project. And I think that's has something to do with INSEAD. I think it's in the blood. And and then here we go, you know. So now we are back still in the office. So the day to day was from very tough to back to normal.
Thank you. Super, super interesting. And can you hear a bit more about the day to day when it in terms of what does it look like for clients and less a bit as an entrepreneur, but also what are your clients requesting?
Yeah, sure. I think just like the client had to go back to the drawing board. There's like a huge differentiation of different maturity in the industry across all setup clients. If you take, for example, like you take Kering Group, for example, they had e-commerce for Gucci and proprietary, and all the rest of their e-commerce was outsourced. Actually, to Richemont Group, interestingly, they outsourced to Net-a-Porter and Yoox versus LVMH, which always been like very brand-led instead of being group-led, that had already multiple e-commerce across brand and who's also been very fast to turn around and bring new digital touchpoints and e-commerce into the playing game. Not sure if you saw the press, but Bulgari, which is one of our clients, for example, released their own e-commerce platform in Singapore before Italy about 3 weeks ago. So you had different usage. LVMH in China jumped in straight away with Louis Vuitton on the live streaming trend about 2-3 weeks ago, and they did a live stream from their store on the Little Red Book, which is one of the streaming platforms in China. That was a great idea, but eventually backlashed because the setup they put behind it was very relaxed, very casual, and you actually look closer to like a street market stall. And so all the users online ended up telling that this clearly didn't reflect the brand values of craftsmanship and high premium that Louis Vuitton stand for, because it was made probably too fast and with maybe a smaller budget. So it's important there. So our clients are also to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, what's going to matter for us? What's going to matter for clients? How are we going to engage them? And how, and probably the most important part, how is that going to drive revenue? Because let's face it, the biggest problem that all the brands have been facing for 4 months is 99.9% of the store closed on the planet, zero or very close to zero revenue coming in. Let's say mass consumer brands probably had a lot more touch point on e-commerce compared to luxury brands. The luxury brands have always been lagging on e-commerce because they want to push forward the physical experience. But everyone had to put their brand back here. So that's been our mainly day-to-day life with clients, is calling them, talking about designing together new ways of connecting with the audience, brainstorming, creating campaigns. We're working with a brand right now in sunglasses, and we're designing for them a campaign which is a mix of fun contest online with Instagram filter and influencers. That's gonna take that contest into a broader level of audience. And then a mix with physical touch points in Q3 or Q4 towards the later of the year, where there's going to be activation in stores, linked to that campaign before on Instagram and with the Instagram filter, and also some personalization, which means there's going to be some personalization on the item, on the sunglasses, in reaction to that online campaign. So we're getting into this online, offline, and going from services, which what the brand offered on top of product, to experience, and even to the last level, which is transformation and customization. So a lot of cloud with brands, a lot of brainstorming, as Guillaume said, a lot of education, because there's different level of maturity. Some people are really advanced, they understand the difference between streaming and video conferencing, so the difference between a YouTube live and a Zoom or a Hangout. But some people are totally lost, and that's where we are.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for your time today. Just a closing word. What is a word of advice you would give to MBA students who are going to be entering the workforce?
That's a tough one. First, probably the first one, I would say good luck, because it's indeed a very interesting environment at the moment. It's very fast changing. What you assume was right or is right now, right, might be different in 3 months or 6 months down the road. So maybe my second word would be stay open-minded. Look at every opportunities in terms of job, even though, and I know within INSEAD, it's a very transformative experience. We were talking about transformation earlier. I think INSEAD is a great example of transformative live experience. So you need to keep it open-minded, because even if you were in consulting before going to tech, these things like that happens quite often at INSEAD, changing or even doing the triple change, changing location, position, and industry. But it's probably going to be where people are going to have to be very open-minded now, because between countries being locked, some industries recruiting, not recruiting, and all of that, I think it's going to be an interesting challenge to get the daydream job in the next few months.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. Well, hopefully, maybe if we're still on Zoom by the end of the year, we can get Shab events to live stream our graduation. Who knows, to create an experience for the school.
Well, I really hope that we'll be able to do a proper graduation somewhere, either in Bali or Phuket for you guys. So it's actually, I don't know if you know, but we've been organizing the graduation trip for INSEAD for, I think, the past 5 years. I did the one for my class. I'm a 13D, so I did the 13D one in Phuket back then. And then since the 2016 Ds, we've been doing between Bali, Phuket, or Croatia for the J class. Sadly, we had to cancel with the student council of the J class. We had to cancel the graduation trip in July. But we're talking on how we can reschedule that maybe in a 1+ year down the road. But for the D class, for the 20 Ds, hopefully the world, we still have another six close to 7 months. Hopefully the world has restarted and travel becomes safer again in a few months down the road, so that you guys can have a real graduation and not just a live stream, or at least a hybrid one where some people made it and the rest of them had a great experience online.
Well, I really hope this will be the case, and we will be in Phuket sipping mojitos. I'll tell you that much. Thank you very much, Alexis and Guillaume, for your time.
Thank you, Celeste.
Welcome. Thank you, Celeste. Take care.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Get done.